Simon Varrak looked at the dead caribou at his feet.
We walk from here, Ilya.
The man turned to his daughter, doing his best to offer her a comforting smile. Terelia, 11 years old and with the same blonde hair as her late mother, nodded almost imperceptibly.
I'm cold, Papa. This is a place of death.
Simon Varrak found it hard to argue. The landscape was bleak and cold, ice crystals glinting on the soil, grass shoots poking through the white snow in sparse patches. Mist swirled over the land in bobbing waves like the swell of the ocean, obscuring and revealing the surroundings in a game of peekaboo. Snow was falling in a light but constant curtain, enough to blanket the ground and the lifeless trees that made up the landscape, the air cold enough to turn one's breath into misting clouds of vapor that hung above the mouth like speech balloons in a pre-dark comic strip. Varrak hadn't wanted to come here, nor had the muty caribou. When they reached the tall wall, the creature had bucked and complained, rearing back from the translucent barricade and stomping its feet. But the vill men were just behind them, and Varrak had urged the beast on. That was hours ago. How many had it been? Varrak couldn't tell anymore. When he looked back, he could see himself trudging through the snow with his daughter on the back of the muty caribou, following the footsteps that it had already walked. Ahead, he saw himself and his daughter making their way down the snow-backed slope toward a cluster of trees, hunched over against the unrelenting wind and the falling snow. He watched for a moment as the figures continued, disappearing behind the curling mists that swept the place in frozen clouds.
Come, we will not die.
Terelia looked at her father hopefully as he half pulled her down the slope. Behind them, the disembodied mouths were biting at the air, teeth chattering as they ate the flashes of light that sparkled in the atmosphere with charged static. Simon suspected that those mouths could bite through a person's arm or leg if he or she remained still long enough to be reached. He had already lost his son Evan on the trip here. He would not lose his daughter, too. Seeing where her father was looking, Terelia peered back over her shoulder.
Are they still there? I don't see them.
We march quickly, like the guards, to keep ourselves warm.
Terelia nodded, recalling the guards in the vill and the way they had looked at her. That had been the last straw for her father. He was a fisherman by trade, not an especially successful one, but proficient enough to feed himself and his family. The winters were harsh here, but then so were the summers. But 3 months ago, the tall wall had come to them, cutting closer to their cold little house than it had ever come before, like a Terminator line during a solar eclipse. It had eaten into space, stealing land, consuming it, leaving it just beyond reach. The stories of his ink orchard had been clear enough. To enter it was death. To go beyond the tall wall was to invite death. And no one had ever returned. Simon had upped stakes and moved his family, searching for new fishing grounds. Instead, he had found the vill, with its despotic baron and his appetites, coupled with the near-infinite weaponry to enforce his will. Simon had tried to barter with the man. They had taken his rifle and they had committed him to the mines, while his two daughters had been taken away. It broke Simon's heart. When he saw the scars on Terelia's back, he had determined to make a break for it. His ink orchard was the only place to hide. No one would dare follow a person in there willingly. No one would be so foolish. There was no escape once the barrier was crossed. It was suicide. But even suicide was preferable to seeing one's daughters worn down by forced labor, or used in an even worse manner.
Where will we go now, Papa?
There, the trees. They offer almost no shelter, but almost none is better than none at all.
Around them, the air sparkled like fireflies, each spark another meal for the bodiless mouths that roamed his ink orchard.